Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And today, we're living in a time of Israel is divided and scattered, and Israel will be restored in the future day when Israel will accept the Messiah. It is very similar in the church today, in the body of Messiah, the body of Christ. Look at the division that happened in the body of Christ, in the body of Messiah. In the same way, there is a danger of all of us to depart from the way of the Lord, to tell Him certain things, but not to be real in our life. And we don't point the finger. We know that, I know that, you know it in your own heart. We are a people who need the help from the Lord. So verses 1, 2, and 3, the need of sincere attitude towards God. Verses 1, 2, and 3, in relationship to our worshiping the Lord and speaking to the Lord. Therefore, he said, keep thy foot when you go into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not the day due evil. As far as Shlomo is saying, this is wrong. But then he continues. And in verses 4 and 5, he's not only speaking about what I say to God in worship, and then in the next verses is the vows that we make. In Hebrew, the word for vow is a neder, lindor, nedarim. It speaks about vows. You know, when a couple get married, they're making vows to each other. The future husband is saying certain things to their future wife, and the bride is saying certain things to her future husband, and they are making vows. They are making vows. And it's so easy to make vows. And it doesn't take too long when the marriage is broken and the vows have not been fulfilled. How many homes, whether it was in Israel history, or whether it is in the body of Christ, in the church today, how many marriages are broken? People make vows, but the vows have no value. We know that, right? And so King Shlomo is saying to Israel, he says, listen, if you make a vow to God, first of all, notice verses 4 and 5, fulfill the vow that you make to God. Fulfill it. Notice what he says. I'm reading verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou should not vow than that thou should vow and not pay. The word for pay comes from the Hebrew word leshalem. If you promised God, if you made a vow to the Lord, he's saying to Israel, he says, make sure to pay it. To return to him in thankfulness and make the promise that you have made to him, be faithful to fulfill it, to pay it. And you know why King Solomon is saying? Why? Because he has no pleasure in fools. He says, God has no pleasure in that. Imagine how it's sad is when one make a vow and he doesn't fulfill that vow, and then he thinks that God doesn't realize it. You know, God is a realist. God is real. He sees his people. He knows the condition of his people. We cannot really fool God because he says, I have no pleasure in fools, he's saying. If you made a vow, make sure that you pay it back. Pay it to him. Because God have no pleasure with fools. He said, it is better that thou should not vow than that thou should vow and pay not. You know, there is a verse, if you turn back with me to Psalm 66 for a moment. Just turn back to Psalm 66. Notice what the psalmist of Israel said in Psalm 66 and verses 13 and 14. I will go into thy house with burnt offering, and I will pay thee my vows. This is the psalmist of Israel who said this in Psalm 66 and verse 13. Listen to verse 14. Which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. You know, it's so real. When we are in trouble, and we need God, and we need His help, then we turn to Him. We say, God, please help me. I really need you, God. I have problems. I have these issues and that issue. God, please help me. But then things, He helped us. Something came along and things have been settled. And then all of a sudden we say, God, I don't need you anymore. My problem has been solved. And I don't want you to bother me. Right now I'm fine. When I'll need you, I'll come to you. But I don't need you anymore, God. But the psalmist of Israel says, you know, I'm going to come to the house of the Lord and I'm going to pay the vow that I have made unto the Lord, because when I was in trouble, you helped me. You sustained me. And you know, God desires a response from the heart of His own people. Again, to remind you that Shlomo is speaking to our nation of all, the nation of Israel. You remember what he will say to them later on. Remember now thy Creator in the day of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. You see, God does not only want us to thank Him when we are old and we cannot do anything anymore, we cannot have fun anymore, we cannot have the pleasure that we want, only when we are all sitting in the retirement home and saying, God, thank you, now I'm in the retirement home, I need you, I'm almost dead. What do you think then? God all of a sudden needs you to say, oh God, I thank you and I praise you. But all the time, when we are strong and we are healthy and things are well, we don't need God. Do you think God said, I don't want you to respond to me? Only wait, you know, later on in your life, maybe if you want, then come to me. You don't have to do it now. Is that kind of God we have? That's why Shlomo is appealing to Israel. He says, remember now your Creator, when you are young and when you are strong, use your energy, use your gifts, use whatever God had given you for the glory of God and for your own blessing. Solomon, no. He have gone through all this. He have had all the wealth he wanted. He have had all the riches he wanted. He have had all the wisdom he wanted. He have had all the power any man would want. And he looked back and he said, remember now your Creator in the day of your youth. When you make a promise and a vow to the Lord, be faithful to respond, to repay it, because God does not want from you to be a fool. He doesn't find any pleasure in the fool. He wants you to respond to Him, because He wants to bless the people of God. He wants to bless His own people. So King Shlomo says in verse 5, it is far better if you will simply not vow at all. Don't vow. Don't make a neder or nedarim, vows to God. It's better not to do it than you would vow and you will not follow through with it. That's why sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's better for us when we fail the Lord. And we do fail Him. We know that. It's better to say, Lord, help me. I fail you. To repent. To confess before Him and say, Lord, help me. I know I realize my sin nature. I realize my failure. But I want you to help me so I can live for you here in this world. Before we're going to go to the next verses, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5 and look what Yeshua the Messiah, this is Jesus the Messiah, our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Notice what He said to the multitude there in chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. Yeshua is speaking and He says, this is in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oath, or thy promises. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But now notice verse 37. But let your communication be yes, yes, and no, no. For whatsoever is more than those comes of evil. You notice that? Let your communication be simply yeah, yeah, nay, nay. Yes, yes, no, no. In Hebrew, ken, ken, lo, lo. No more, no less. Don't say more than what you need to be saying. Not making too many promises if you're not intent to keep them. And if you are walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, when you say yes, your word should be yes. And when you say no, your word should be no. No more and no less. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and pay not, Shlomo, the king said many, many years ago. So back to Kohelet, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Now in verses 6 and 7, he says to our people Israel, he says, you have to be very, very careful with what comes out of your mouth. You know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So Shlomo is saying to Israel, notice verse 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore or why should God be angry at thy voice? And destroy the works of thine hand. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. Now you notice what he says here in verse 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. You know, because many times with our mouth, we can cause so much trouble. You know, in one way we praise God with our mouth, but when we turn around and we curse our brothers and sisters. Oh, God, I love you, but oh, this brother, this sister, with our mouth we often, not only that we tell lies, but we gossip. And we talk against people. And we commit so many evil things with these lips, the tongue. Is a very sharp sword. With the tongue, we can do a lot of harm. And that's why it's so beautiful to see when a brother or a sister is using their tongue and their mouth to build the people up, to edify the people of God, to share the message of the gospel with the lost world, to speak a word of comfort to those who need to be comforted. And that's why he says, suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel. Now notice he said the word angel. The Hebrew word for angel here is malach. But the reference is not really to an angel. The reference is to the messenger of God. In the case of Shlomo in Israel, it was the priest in the temple. The priest in the temple is the messenger of God. You can read it in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7. The priest is a malach, is a messenger of God. He speaks for God. And he serves God. So in our case today, don't go to the spiritual leader, to the messenger of God, to the servant of God and tell him, oh, no, 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 it was an error. In other words, you have to watch how you speak, how we speak. We have to watch it. Because it's so much better to speak words that will build and edify the people of God than to speak words that will criticize them and destroy them. You know, brothers and sisters, it is because of our carelessness in the way we say things that people are getting hurt. The tongue become a vessel that is not honoring the Lord when we speak things that we ought not to speak, beloved brothers and sisters. And therefore, it is important for the people of God to use their mouth not to cause themselves to sin, because the mouth is as a sharp sword that is able to destroy and to harm. And oh, how we need it. When we need encouragement, let us use our mouths to encourage. And even if somebody had fallen and need encouragement and restoration, we need to know how to speak in a way to say it in care and concern. We need to hear the truth, of course. We need to be corrected, but to do it with the right attitude, with words that come out of our mouth that will be pleasing and edifying and building up. And so he says in verse 6, "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the servant of the Lord, before the spiritual leader, or before the priest in the case of Shlomo, that it was an error. Why should God be angry with thy voice and destroy the works of thine hand?" You remember the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Philippians, he says, some people preach the Messiah out of envy. Can you imagine? To speak how great is Yeshua the Messiah, but actually doing it in order to cause affliction upon the Apostle Paul. Religion is worse than anything else. Religion is not a relationship with God. We need to have a heart relationship with our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And so he's saying to them, notice verse 7, "For in a multitude of dreams," these are multitudes of matters of life, "and many words, there are also diverse vanities." You know, we have an ambition, and we have dreams to accomplish this. We have plans to do something, and there will be many plans that we have. But notice what Shlomo is saying, "There are also all kind of vanities and emptiness." Unless our plan is in tune with God, we will find very quickly that we are drifting away from the Lord. You will watch it, and I will watch it. When our plans are contrary to God, we will see sooner or later how we play the fool. Because eventually, that which is going to be a blessing to us is that which is done for God and in the will of the Lord. That's why he said, in a multitude of dreams, of all kind of plans, of matters and so on, many words, there are also all kind of vanities, emptiness. That's why many times when we run around trying to do this, trying to get there, and trying to do all that, and then we look back at our history and we say, oh boy, I should have been waiting on the Lord, continuing with Him, and He would have directed me and He will give me the direction in my life, and I know I would have been blessed. But we know better than God, right? We think we know better than God. And we find out that we were wrong. So in verse 7, he said to him at the end, King Solomon said to Israel, "Fear thou God." Recognize that you need to honor God and to fear Him, to respect Him. God is real. He's not only there in the sweet by and by. He's here in the midst of His own. He touched our heart. He speaks to us. He lives in the midst of His own people. He delights to see His people reading the scriptures, studying the word, building each other up. He desires to see Israel is helping each other, seeking to lead them to be closer to the Lord, because there is a blessing when the people of God following Him. Hine matovu manaim shevet achim gam yachad, the psalmist of Israel said, "Behold how good and how pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity, building each other, and you will see there the Lord commendeth His blessing, even life forevermore," the psalmist of Israel have said. So in verses 1 to 7, the king of Israel, Shlomo, said it is important to have a sincere attitude before God. This is not only a New Testament teaching, beloved brothers and sisters. This is not only Yeshua or Shaul Paul or Peter or James or John. This is the Old Testament instruction to the people of Israel that we can take it and apply it for ourselves today. So now he continues. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, not only that we are to have sincere attitude before God and toward God, we are also to be aware that here in this world there is oppression, and we must realize that there is the need of accountability towards God here on earth. Look at the oppression that existing in this world. The Hebrew word for oppression is oshek or la'ashok. And so in verse 8, he's saying, if you see, Shlomo says to Israel, if you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. In other words, when you look around and you see so much unfairness that is going here, there is an oppression of the poor. There is violent, the perverting judgment. In other words, it's not fair here in this world. Don't be surprised. You know why there is an oppression and perverting of the truth? Because we have a sin nature. We live in a sinful world. And therefore, Shlomo is saying, listen, when you see the oppression of the poor and the violent, perverting judgment and justice, in the province, the word for a province comes from the Hebrew word Medina. In the case of Israel, is Medinat Israel, the people of Israel, the land of Israel, the country of Israel. Marvel not at the matter. In other words, don't be surprised. Be wise. Don't think, oh, wait a minute, why is it happening? Oh, I mean, realize that this is reality in this world, because the world is far from God, and even among the people of God, they have the sin nature that we have, and we need to judge us every time again and again. And when there is a perverting of judgment, when there is an oppression of the poor, realize that someone sees it. You see, notice at the end of verse 8, he said, marvel not at the matter. Why? Because he that is higher than the highest, he regardeth. The Hebrew word regardeth is shomer. In other words, there is someone that's going to give an account for that. And then notice at the end of verse 8, he said, and there is even be higher than they. In other words, realize that there is a living God who is higher than all, and he is keeping score. In other words, he sees it. When there is an oppression, God is going to deal with it one day. He sees everything. He knows everything. He is the one that ultimately going to deal with it in a day to come. And he is the higher of even the government. You know, sometimes we don't like the governments. And they say, well, there are no justice, it's not fair. But Shlomo says it's good to have a government that's setting things in order. It's better than chaos. But even when there is injustice and there is an oppression, ultimately, even the highest of the highest in earth going to give an account to the one that is higher than all of them, namely God. And the word higher in verse 8 at the end is in a plural, gvohim in Hebrew. And that applies also to the triunity of the Godhead. God is above all. He sees all the governments and all what's going on here in this world. He sees the oppression. He sees the perverting of justice and judgment. And ultimately, the king, the prime minister, the presidents, the leaders, they're all going to give an account eventually to God. Recognize that. And that's sometimes we're trying to fight it. We can't do so. We can help to fix something, but eventually God sees all. And therefore in verse 9, he says, the prophet of the land is for all, The king himself is served by the field. Shlomo is saying to Israel, you know, really the land that was given to us, Israel, is in order for everyone to benefit from the land. Not only one, but we all need to benefit from that. Even I, notice that the king himself is served by the field. In other words, even I, the king of Israel, Shlomo, I myself benefit from the land, from all the fields. And therefore, realize there is perversion, there is a lack of justice. The land was given for all to enjoy. But the problem is, because of sin nature, therefore we have the need to be aware of the oppression and to realize that accountability will come one day, and God, who is higher than all, will ultimately deal with this situation. So, number one, have a sincere attitude towards the Lord. Number two, be aware of the oppression and accountability that existing here in this world. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 to 17, here Solomon is giving 7 points, or you might say sevenfold instruction on a proper attitude towards wealth. Remember, he said that the land is to be given for all, and he's now speaking about very practical thing that we have to learn from that concerning wealth and concerning materialism. You know how it's so real for us in our life. Materialism and wealth is actually what everyone seek and aim for here in this world. You know, if we are honest, we all can say, if I had a little bit more, my problems will be over, right? Because if I only had more, my issues are settled.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.